Today, we talk Krampus, Moana, and Winter Woes. Then we talk about what happened at the VGAs and PSX. All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello, and welcome back to Trust Circle, episode 14. I don't know what 14, I'm trying to think of like a...
The one for teens. The one cool for podcast for teens.
14 for teens. Trust Circle. Teen video
hey,
game podcast for teens.
Snapchat.
Not for moms.
Yo, teens. Kid approved.
Mom you're tested. You're 18 mom.
Then welcome to the show. This is Trust Circle. I'm your host, Devin Valdivia.
We welcome you in and all of your...
Welcome all your teen moms. Bring your baby. Gather them. Okay. Gather them close.
This is a family show after all.
Yeah. Find your nearest teen mom. Bring him in. I am your host, as always, Devin Valdivia. Joined, as always, by my wife, Valerie.
Still
Valdivia.
Here. Still here.
All right, Mousy.
Still here.
And TopShelfGaming.net's founder, editor-in-chief, crazy person, Captain Stutterer, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
There it is.
I feel like I haven't seen you two in such a long time.
It's been a long time. This is Trust Circle, Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only podcast, where every week we bring you a video game topic and talk about it, and we drag Valerie into kicking and screaming as a non-video game player, and she brings some levity and fun times to the rest of you guys who, like her, maybe don't play games, but me and Marcus do, so join us all.
That's why people hang out with me, for all that levity.
People hang out with me so that they can have at least one black friend.
See, Devin? Wait, I was gonna goof off what I said, and then Mark said that, and my mouth was still talking.
I don't think that joke landed the way you thought it was going to.
I was gonna say see Devin because Devin says I'm only funny 35% of the time.
Well, this is one of that 65%.
Marcus is black 100% of the time, so he wins.
Wow.
Well,
welcome to the show, you guys. Yikes.
What a start, right? Look at that.
I mean, it's December.
Yeah. We're going to blink and this year's going to be over.
This year basically is over.
Well, no, yeah. Well, like, once we're at this time where, like, we are now, there's no longer saying, like, this year went by so fast because it's 2017.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we're going to go to bed, wake up, and it's going to be next year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when, like, you're younger and each year you think back to the year prior and you're like, I feel really different than last year. Like, grade 9? No, now I'm in grade 10. That's so different. Whereas, like, the more farther along I get into adulthood, I'm like, no, I'm pretty much the same. Like, time keeps going by, but I feel the same.
Yeah.
It's like,
I probably should feel more different now, but I don't. Yeah, it was... I feel like I'm getting to that age where everyone I talk to is like, oh, yeah, did the years just fly by? And, like, it makes me feel old and sad because I remember being young and being like, oh, man, like, that was a whole year ago. Like, that seems like it was forever. And I was like, eh. Like, today on Facebook, you know, it shows you, like, you know, the flashback things. There was a picture from me at college 8 years ago.
That makes you sound anxious when you say it like
that. I was in college 8 years ago.
Were you really in college 8 years ago?
It was of me and my friends Francis, Nicole, and Bob, and we were at the Costa Mesa Mall. We all took a picture with Santa. A Santa
with
a picture.
Do you have a friend named Bob?
Do. Bob Dog. Bob Dog Huddlestone.
I think that's a fake friend.
He's going by Robert now. He put down the Bob.
Like, like your dad.
Yeah, just like my dad.
Good old
but
Robert.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember the picture, and then, you know, the bottom. 8 years ago, and I kind of freaked out.
That makes you sound like a gray-haired, mortgage-paying adult.
I'm none of those things. I actually have a fair amount of gray hair. No mortgage, though.
I don't see any gray hairs.
Ew! Sorry. I just made a bad joke.
That's one of those 65%.
Well, speaking of this past year, this past week...
Oh, good. Past year... Really quick, before we move on... And every time I say that, I realize it's never really quick.
Here we go.
So,
buckle up, teen moms.
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking of my last year. And, like, my life has changed a whole lot in the last year. This time last year, I was sleeping on a mat in, like, in someone's, like, back room that was filled with creepy crawlies living in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, a very, very different
life. I forgot about that saga.
Marcus's L.A. period.
Yeah. It was
when
not...
You were, like, an hour and a half away from us at mm-hmm. all times.
So. Well, I mean, at that point, was I closer to Devin?
You're closer to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was just a very different life. And even the people that I talked to versus the people that I talk to now and friends and definitely... very different jobs, and like this year has been full of really big changes. I mean, a year ago, we didn't have this podcast.
Mm-mm.
It's true.
It wasn't even like on the table.
It wasn't even a twinkle in Marcus's eye.
No, it was always something, and.
Was it more of a repressed memory from the first attempt?
Yeah. Technically, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, always obviously in the future looking to have to branch out from just writing and, you know, doing more multimedia stuff. But even in terms of starting the podcast back up, like, Valerie wasn't a thought to be a part of that, you know? Mm-hmm. It just wasn't... I thought it all, and I don't know. It's weird that, well, in general, just the three of us are here now mm-hmm. because our relationships exactly 1 year ago were completely different, mm-hmm. and the dynamic was completely different. Mm-hmm. You two weren't married yet.
And we only hung out with Marcus, like individually, separately. Except for the once in a blue moon when we could all hang out together.
Yeah. But it was like weird. like an actual blue moon. It mm-hmm. was like super mm-hmm. like probably twice in like the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. So more like a blood moon.
A blood moon, yeah. So so reflection, you know?
Look yeah, no, that. It, that that's mm-hmm. that for me. December like is just an entire month of just like weird introverted reflection. I feel like basically post Thanksgiving. Through the end of the year, it's just like time kind of like ceases to have all meaning, and it's like, oh, it's like, is it 1 week to Christmas or like a month or like whatever? And then before you know it, it's already January and it's whatever. You know, so for the past couple weeks, I've been kind of in that just state of just like thinking back, and like in a lot of ways, like I do feel like this year really flew past, and you know, it's like, oh, like nothing happened, but like a lot of stuff happened. I got married.
Devin's talking about how it gets all. Super nostalgic around the holidays, and like a thought occurred to me the other day. I was like, I wonder if I use my imagination like a lot more during the holidays because Christmas music is blasting like from every corner. And then growing up in California my whole life, I've never had like a quote unquote white Christmas.
Yeah,
I've never been dashing through the snow on a horse in the snow with Jack Frost on my nose, you know,
doing snow. Some little nip nips.
Yeah, so I'm just like, oh, I wonder what that would be like. And then so like that like those visions get like pumped into my head every holiday season, but they're all imaginary. So part of the holiday season is just like feasting on these like imaginary visions all the time. And then like sort of like that's probably a contributing factor to all the nostalgia.
Do you find that it makes you like when your head is filled with all this imagery, like does it make you more creative? Like are you drawing more or doing more?
It's just like it's like having like a weird sweater around you where you're like, oh, it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, in my head, there's just like tiny neuroses of horses just like going through.
That's like the opposite of me. But you all know that I'm a Scrooge.
Ah, Scrooge.
I'm totally.
We're going to find that cold, dead heart inside you somewhere.
I'm not anti-Christmas. I'm anti-capitalism and I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I get it too, because like no, for every sugar plum fairy drop twinkle horse that's in my head, there's also like there's you know there's Papa Walmart over there looking in through the window like hi.
It's like yeah, want to spend some money today?
And that's all valid, but like I said, the last one this was brought up, you know, like, you make your traditions. Yeah. You know, you make your holidays. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly, you know, external factors that are always going to mm-hmm. play into your experience and in some cases plague your experiences. But, I think one of the coolest things about growing up is being able to set the new rules.
Mm-hmm. And like, if you don't want to give any gifts for Christmas, you can just be like, my gift is a hug.
Yeah.
Because those I can give endlessly.
I always have hugs.
I always have hugs in your pocket.
Well, that's the thing too. I think for me, it's that expectation. Mm-hmm. I like giving gifts, but I don't want to give a gift out of obligation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I'm going to get my sister mm-hmm. or my dad. I know what I'm going to get my mom because it's something that she's mentioned that she needs. Mm-hmm. And I know it would make her really, really happy. I don't know what to
get. Some more of that good chicken, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
She opens up a wrapped box, bows on top, and ties the bow. Just chicken seeping through the edges of the cardboard.
You do care. Yeah, but it's like I know what I'm gonna get her, and like, what do you get for an 11-year-old girl who has everything?
Minecraft.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know, like, if I see something like throughout the year and mm-hmm. it reminds me of you, mm-hmm. I'm just gonna get it for you. Mm-hmm. And that's how, you know, that's my expression, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily tied to any like one day. And mm-hmm. so I think for me, like, part of my issue, one of many, is just that expectation that you have to, like, just give some material object. Mm-hmm.
Is there, like, something you could go do with her that would be, like, special or, like...
I mean, something you could... she's going to get, like, a billion things anyway. I mean...
Just go kart racing?
Yeah.
I mean...
Your presence is her present.
We could go, like, laser... I don't know what she likes.
We're gonna hang out and pull some shenanigans.
There you go.
Actually, so what's so strange now, because my sister grew up, I mean, I basically raised her playing video games. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as she was old enough to hold a Game Boy, like, I, like, had her playing Kirby, I had her playing Super Mario, whatever. Mm-hmm. And video games was always our number one way of bonding. Now that's changed. She doesn't really like playing video games other than phone games. Mm-hmm. But I brought my Wii U home mm-hmm. over Thanksgiving, and she always asked me, like, hey, did you bring your Wii U? And then most of the time I don't bring it, but mm-hmm. I brought it this time, and I hooked it up for her, and she was really happy. And I was like, what do you want to play? And she says, oh, I don't want to play. Like, what? Like, no, I just want to watch you play. And I was like, no, I don't want to play this. I want to play with you. Uh-huh. Like, I don't even use mm-hmm. my Wii U, you know? I'm basically playing PlayStation. Like, I only hooked this up because we were going to play together. And so it's interesting seeing how that part of our relationship has changed as well. Because it is very different, and it's like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to relate to this child. Or like, our number one bonding thing... Mm-hmm. Now looks very different than what it's been for the past, like, you know, 10 years. Yeah.
Well, speaking of sisters, let's go over our weeks. That's what we call a smooth transition.
Speaking of Christmas.
Yeah. Speaking of Christmas. So Valerie and I went and saw Moana.
Yes.
We saw it. Was it yet?
We saw it yesterday. That was only yesterday.
Wow.
I'm seeing it again tomorrow.
Yeah. So I went in expecting it to be good, but I wasn't like excited to see it. I was like, okay, I'll just go see it.
Devin was like, fine, we're seeing Moana. All during the previews, Devin's like, are you happy? We're seeing Moana. While we're watching a preview for Rock Dog.
Literally the worst previews I've ever seen in my life.
I forgot how rough the previews are for when you go see a PG-rated movie.
What's Rock Dog?
You don't want to know.
Okay. We'll show you after, Marcus, okay. And your world will change. For the worst. Yeah.
If you're listening to this, don't look it up. I'm sorry, creators of
Rock Dog. I'm sure you worked a lot on it.
No. Don't cut them any slack.
I'm being nice to humans this year.
I'm not convinced that product is the result of humans. I think they actually just put rocks and dogs in a room and said, make a movie.
And gave him an iPhone.
And just threw some money at it and said, we'll come back in a year. But, so Moana, the actual movie we went to go see, was amazing.
It was so good.
It was amazing.
So good. To echo Marcus's sentiments last week, is so good.
I do. And so, you know, I told you last week, I really enjoyed Frozen. You went off in a weird little, you did that, you sighed at me and said, meh. I still enjoyed Frozen. So yeah, I wasn't super excited going into it, just expected to be fine. But from almost the beginning, the very beginning, I was just kind of sitting there taking it all in and just kind of, meh. And to be completely honest, the setting and theme of just, you know, the islander sort of thing, like, I was like, I don't know how much I'm gonna just enjoy, like, that vibe. Turns out it's awesome, and it was great, and it actually played really well into, like, the concepts and the messaging and the themes of the story. I think that it fit perfectly for an islander, you know, indigenous tribal family sort of message. I also thought that they handled I was telling you this last night, like the moralizing of the message really well. Because at first you think it's just going to be another thing where, like, oh, you know, your family's too traditional. You just go break out and go be your own girl and just go be your star and follow all your dreams. And they definitely set it up that way at first, but it's pretty clearly made like not that, like, that's not just saying like, just go do your own thing. Forget, you know, your family, if they're holding you back,
they show that it's like not that simple.
It's not as easy as just like cutting everyone out of your life and just, you know, living your truth.
Yeah.
It's like it's bigger than your truth, because your truth is kind of, not kind of, like, it is impacted by everyone around you and your tribe, and it fit really well. I really liked how the music emphasized all of that, and they did a lot of their exposition through the music, which in another movie would have been really cheesy and bad, but again, because it was, you know, these Pacific Islanders and just like that all fit into just the cultural way you would explain and express and do songs
and like oral traditions and whatnot.
Yeah, the songwriting was great. The beginning of the first song, I was like, yeah, whatever, but then like it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Lin-Manuel Miranda,
yeah.
It was great. It's absolutely beautiful. And it is way more varied than I thought it was going to be at first, just visually and just, you know, just the different color schemes you have throughout the movie and just where that goes. Completely blew me away. It's an incredible movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I was a fool. I was a fool for doubting.
The wool has been taken from your eyes.
Yes.
You know, when I worked at Disney, like every month,
mm-hmm.
there's this presentation that, mm-hmm. like, people from like all parts of the company go to, and then they just watch like, you see like different segments,
mm-hmm.
are working on. So like, this is what Disney Channel's doing, and like, mm-hmm. this is what parks, and they showed one clip of Moana. And it was this like 30-second clip, but I was like, this movie is going to be so good. And so it's been on my radar for so long. And Wreck-It Ralph, you know, is my favorite movie. TSG's colors are based off of Wreck-It Ralph. Ralph and...
TSG's name is based on Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So a lot of things.
Check out that Game of the Month graphic.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, you know, I went into this knowing as much as I knew, thinking that, like, this has the potential to replace Wreck-It Ralph as my favorite movie. I'm not sure if it has. I'm going to see it again tomorrow night. Or I guess tonight by the time this airs. And, you know, I want to just, like, look at all of the, like, themes and look at all of the, like, background stuff.
And that hair.
And that hair.
Did you see the staff in the credits? Hair technicians?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just those 9 hair people?
Yeah.
Your job is a hair.
Your job is
for the next 2 years.
4 years.
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah. No. Fantastic movie. You should go see it. And you should go see it on the biggest screen you can find to go see it on.
Yeah.
It is incredible. It is beautiful. It's so good. Valerie, I'm going to skip you. Marcus, we'll come back. We're just going to skip over. Tim, what's your week?
I mean, my week has been super, super crazy. There's a lot of transitioning going on, and just starting new jobs but not leaving old ones.
Just pile it on like a bigger sandwich.
Yeah. So you know, just doing a lot of stuff. But last week the interns had their celebration, their final celebration. They have graduated, so that is Yay!
That was a really sad applause at first.
I didn't know you wanted me to join in.
Yeah, join in.
How do your claps sound?
Fleshier,
yeah.
I have to clap the inside of my elbow on
the
other side.
Just a flashy clap.
See? It's fleshier.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. And, So, this makes 4 semesters of interns that have graduated from the TSG Academy.
Your fledglings have left the nest.
Yeah, that's 17 total baby boys. I mean, there's girls too, but baby boys is in.
Yeah, because of my brother and me, boys is basically a gender neutral term.
Yeah. And so I'm really excited for them, and I'm just excited for what comes next. Not just for Top Shelf Gaming, but for them. Every semester I make the interns, like, they have a final assignment, and that's just a reflection on this year. In one of the assignments, one of the interns said, like, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but after this internship, like, I want to keep doing games writing and, you know, games media. And to me, like, that means so much. It's like this internship, like, helped him find his passion. And no matter what he ends up, like, this experience helped awaken something in him, so...
There's been an awakening.
Do you feel it?
Do you feel it?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that that's really cool, and stuff like that helps keep me energized when lately I've been in a perpetual state of...
I mean, and going back to, you know, just talking about years and time passing and progression, this semester's group of interns was incredibly strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they can lift so much.
They can lift so much. They have the heaviest boys. You know, like just the out, not the toot our own horn, our own horn. It's a fun
our
combo.
Own horn.
Our own horn here.
It's a bunch of vowels that shouldn't be together. But,
the output on the site has been not just strong as far as number of things posted, but just content wise, really impressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, me thinking back to less exciting conversations you and I have had in the past about just, you know, whether or not Top Shelf Gaming is sustainable long term, just having doubts, you know, earlier on about what this can even be, and then, you know, being here and looking back and seeing really what it's all come of all of that.
Yeah.
It's impressive. So, tooting the horn. But if you haven't checked out topshelfgaming.net, you should. And I think you especially should if you, like Valerie, aren't super into games. Because I think TSG's really starting to find a niche there as far as how to write about games that way, which has been the goal from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And to see it really kind of settling into that and growing into that. It's been cool to see, you know, me kind of being semi on the sidelines here. I think it's something definitely worth being proud of, and using as a mark of the passage of time.
Yeah.
So, congrats to the interns, and good luck with the next crop.
Yeah. Cultivating culture, one.
One so nerd at a time.
One nerd at a time.
Speaking of nerds,
that's
Valerie.
Me.
How was your week?
Good, I think. And time's going so fast that I don't know what's happening.
Did you say week or month?
I ate a lot of cheese this week, so that's good.
That's also nothing new.
You've been gassy.
But like more for me, which is saying something.
She's a gassy gal.
Sassy and gassy. Yeah, no, because of the place where I work sells food and whatnot.
The store that should not be named?
I work at
Trader Joe's.
At Barter Mo's.
Trader Joe's.
And so we keep having these like cheese samplings because we got Joe's. Such rockin' holiday cheeses in. And then like we go to like hang out with people. I bring cheese because that's what you do when you're trying to be hospitable.
Yeah.
I bring cheese home. I take cheese in my pockets. At all times.
Just
be prepared.
If
you
and Napoleon Dynamite were friends,
you'd
have like cheesy tots.
What a beautiful friendship it would be.
Out of your pockets. Yeah. You would pull out cheese and he would pull out tots. And you'd find some microwave and just cook that bad boy.
Put it into the microwave and you've got that body heat.
You got that body heat.
Quesadilla.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Whoa, you guys.
What?
Hash brown quesadilla.
I mean, you'd have to use a lot of cheese to offset the height of the... Oh, wait.
And?
Give me a guess. It was shredded cheese and shredded hash browns mixed together?
Yeah.
Taco Bell has that. Breakfast Crunchwrap.
Taco Bell's already thought of it.
Of course they have. Valerie, quickly, before we take our break, I want to hear about the other holiday movie we watched recently.
We watched Krampus because I made Devin rent it from Redbox.
Whoop, whoop.
How was it?
It was silly. It was everything I expected it to be, which was dumb and fun.
Was it an actual horror movie?
Not really, because I tend to compare it a lot to this other movie that I saw by the same director, whose name I don't know. So I sound informed, but I'm not that informed. He did this other movie called Trick or Treat, which came out from like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So if you're at all familiar with that movie, this movie's basically those same vibes, only Christmasified.
Yeah.
In that it's like, kind of bills itself as a horror movie, but really the scares are more silly than actually horror-y, because having them be actually horror-y would take away from, like, the fun of the movie.
Yeah.
In its universe, and this movie really just wants to be fun.
Yeah.
It starts out very nostalgic, especially the, in, like, the opening credit sequence, there's, like some sort of, like, a Bing Crosby Christmas Carol overlaid over slow-motion footage of, like, people shopping with, like, a typeface that's, like, curly and got like little holly leaves branching out of it and stuff. So it just starts out super like super Christmas special nostalgic, and then just kind of like deconstructs that in a fun way, yeah. If not like an entirely, you know.
And I think both of those examples make sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Krampus is a fun tradition. It's mm-hmm. just, it's like more about mischief than like actual being evil.
Eaten by a devil guy.
Yeah. And same with trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. It's like more about mischief and like less about like actual terror.
Yeah. So cool. If you're looking for an off-kilter holiday romp, check it out.
That could be a part of your holiday tradition. Yeah.
Krampusnacht.
Well, that already exists.
Yeah, in Bavaria.
Well, you should be very careful about the cultures you appropriate.
You should be very careful all the time. We just told Krampus to come and eat you.
Good. Well, with that, I'm going to go run from the Krampus. Let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk about the VGAs and PSX. What are those?
Gross.
Carry me to the place I know.
I know a secret.
I'm
not going to tell you till the end unless you guess it beforehand.
I know. Here's a secret. Nope.
That's not a secret.
What's the secret?
I'm not telling. It's a secret.
What's it about? She's doing
winky face.
Yeah. Semicolon, close parenthesis.
Wait, should I know it?
It involves you, Marcus.
Oh.
Do you know it?
Yeah,
you do. Yes. Yeah, you do.
Yes.
Marcus knows this.
Y'all are literally the worst. So, let's get on with this podcast we are trying so hard to do.
It's been like 9 days since we've done this. We're rusty.
Anytime it's an evening podcast, it's a little bit this more of a wild ride than an afternoon podcast.
Every time we break the schedule, it just gets ridiculous.
This is the new schedule.
But we have a lot to get over with.
Wow. I know how you really feel.
He's not excited about it at all. He's ready to go home. Except
he is home.
There's no escaping. I can't be released from
sometimes that's how I feel in my house prison with all my furry guests.
You have a guard dog.
I do.
Well, we've got a lot to cover, so let's get going. Because two semi-big events happened since our last podcast. We had both the VGAs and PSX. And this is where we sing a certain song to Valerie.
What's that phrase? What's it mean? It's time for the word of the week.
What's your word of the week?
My word of the week is Dwayne Johnson.
All right.
Dwayne Johnson.
You can see him in Moana now playing in theaters everywhere.
You can hear him.
You can hear his amazing voice.
His dulcet tones. I don't know he sang.
He did better.
He can do anything.
He got choked up on those high notes.
Oh.
There was, like, sometimes when he hit that high note, he just couldn't reach it.
It's probably because his larynx is just too jacked.
Yeah. It's, like, way too buff.
Well, you can go tell it to his face.
You know what? He's
actually, like, an awesome dude.
He's a nice guy.
He's super nice.
Yeah.
One of my coworkers used to babysit him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
That's weird. All right. So, Dwayne Johnson, word of the week. If anything we say sounds weird or crazy, scream Dwayne Johnson at us. Or just, you know, ask us if we smell what you're cooking. No.
Do you
no?
not get that reference?
What's cooking good?
Oh my god.
All right. Moving on. Look it up afterwards.
He doesn't even deserve that.
So, Thursday was the VGAs.
The very good apples.
You know, there's a word if you want to find out information.
The volatile.
Marcus.
Just say your word.
Dwayne Johnson.
Thank you.
Video game awards.
Never could have guessed that.
You actually even watched the beginning of it.
It's called a goof, Devin.
You're a goof.
Look it up.
So it's a goof.
The video game awards, or as Waypoint called it, the Keelys.
The Keelys. I actually like that much better.
The Keelys.
Dwayne Johnson, why?
Jeff Keighley is the host and creator, and so, yeah. So, this is the... I don't know how long I've been doing this, but they've kind of revamped. It's like, I think it was the second or third revamp Video Game Awards.
Yeah, but I think it's the fourth year total.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I have opinions about the Video Game Awards, but I want to hear your thoughts on them in general, Marcus, before we just run through some of the...
In general?
Yeah. Like... How do you feel about the Video Game Awards? Not the idea of the Video Game... Like, these Video Game Awards, like...
So, this past Thursday's...
The Keighleys.
This most recent one?
And just all of Jeff Keighley's Video Game Awards. What are your opinions on the whole...
Like, it's important, and I'm glad we have them. I think this year was really special because it was broadcast everywhere except for TV. And I'm just like... This still feels like a joke. Or not like a joke, but just our cute little thing. Our cute little gamer nerd thing. Like, it's not legitimized yet. Because it's not being broadcast. Or broadcast on television. And I understand that that's not where the audience is. But I feel in terms of it, you know... really just being this respected thing, just like Grammys or just like the Oscars,
mm-hmm.
There kind of needs to be, and it needs to be more of an event that even if, like, I'm not into musicals,
mm-hmm.
but I know when the Tonys are, you know, coming up, and I feel like for this game awards to be legitimate, it like needs that recognition where even if people don't care about it, they still know that it's coming. But only people in our gaming circle really know that it exists. So I'm glad that it's happening. I think I'm excited for it to get bigger.
That means that, like, if they ever did broadcast it, like, on a Tony. So you know how, like, people can win, like, the EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony?
Yeah.
If they did voice work in a video game, then I guess they could win the VGOT.
VGOT. Or JVOT. Or TVOG.
EVGOT.
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 That's the best one. Yeah. What do you think? What are your feels?
I'm kind of torn between them, to be honest. You know, I like the idea of a video game awards show.
Hmm?
I'm still not sure if I like the idea of this video game awards show.
Is it because it's so commercialized?
That's definitely part of it. You know, but that's also... It's also necessary to some extent because you, like, to get that broad reach, like you just talked about, you need that ad money.
Yeah.
Like you do...
this doesn't work without all of those sponsors.
You need that giant Schick Hydro robot.
You know, Weinstein's yet.
Yeah.
But, like, what was weird about it is that, like, it stood out to me for this award show in particular. I don't think I even watched last year's. So it may have been just as bad. But I feel like a lot of the advertisers were, like, video game companies.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I get it, but, like, that's almost guaranteeing that's going to stay insular.
Mm.
And then it also just feels like this weird, like, self-congratulatory, like, just kumbaya circle. Where, like, the same people who are helping funding the award, the same people who have, like, nominees in the categories, and the same people who are, you know, being awarded these awards. And it seems like this weird, like, snake eating its tail sort of thing.
But that's not unlike other award shows, though.
I also have the same similar issues with other awards. Like, you know, I think the Grammys are very much also just this weird self-congratulatory, just like, I don't know, they're just this weird, like, cynical joke of them, of what I feel like an award show should be.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just the nature of award shows. I mean, it very well could be. I
say that's the nature of award shows because award shows need... They basically self-generate prestige in order to have the prestige with which to award other people awards, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, if they don't treat themselves as big and fancy, then the awards that they give out won't have any weight, you know?
It's not themselves treating themselves as important. It's like the same people who are up for like up for an award, also literally funding the show. Like, it just seems kind of strange. And I don't think it's necessarily like unethical or anything. It just seems like a weird like way to go about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get around it. I think just doing an award show is just a really weird, tricky thing to really easily get caught up in the middle of it.
It was strange too, because as I'm watching it on YouTube, watching like when I first load the stream, or if I have to reload, I have to watch a 30-second ad. And then it goes to the stream, and then the award show a few minutes later is like playing that same ad as a part of their actual program, and it's just like, oh, okay, like I don't know.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is just part of just an award show. I don't know. I don't know how you break that. And I also don't know if a big award show like this is necessarily the way to break into like mainstream recognition. I just don't know if this is going to be the thing that's going to like make video games matter to people. Like, oh, even award show, like, I don't know.
I don't think that's the meat or that's the end goal though, because like, going back to the Tonys, like, the Tonys happen every year. I don't care about musicals anymore. Or it's not just musicals, it's, you know, theater. It doesn't make me care about that art form anymore, but it makes me recognize it as an art form. And I feel like if that could happen for video games, where, you know, it's not turning people on to video games or making them necessarily look into them if they don't already play them. But it is that thing where we can say, like, yeah, we as a community assign value to these games over certain criteria, for artistic value, for all these different things.
For technical achievement.
And so I feel like even just that awareness that we care about this enough that we would recognize these things, I feel like that's the bigger reward or the biggest benefit of these award shows.
Okay. Speaking of recognizing games, let's talk about some of the winners.
Can we just go to Game of the Year?
No.
Okay.
It's Overwatch, spoiler alert. Yay! But so, another issue I had with specifically this year's awards, a lot of the awards were just, like, announced, just with, like, no, like, zero, like, wait, like literally... Jeff Keighley, I think even before the show even officially started, was like, oh, by the way, like, best fighting game goes to Street Fighter V. Like,
that just, happens like, at every show, just, though.
But, like, there's not that many categories here. And, like, first of all, Street Fighter V, not the best fighting game of the year. Like just thinking about, like, its launch and, like, it's the weird, like...
It's kind of a disaster. Support,
like, it's been a disaster of a game. And, like, that, like, that's weird. Pokemon Go winning best mobile game of the year? Like, might be the best-selling, but yeah. As a game? No, it's a terrible game. Like, as a game, like, can you seriously tell me that that game was better than...
Anything else?
Than anything else. Fire Emblem Fates is one of the other nominees. Like, just, like...
No.
Like, Pokemon... According to this award show, Pokemon Go is a better game than Fire Emblem Fates and was the best mobile game this year.
Fire Emblem Fates runs circles around Pokemon Go.
Well, that happens in every award show, though. There's some upset win, or like the juggernaut wins when like the other thing should have been recognized instead. You know, that's just symptomatic of
or like Leo never wins, except
the Revenant.
Yeah, finally.
But like, and that's why like this. It feel like I'm not surprised that Pokemon Go won, because that's the game that you know, if I ask anyone on the street, like, what's a game, a popular phone game, like, or a mobile game, someone's probably going to say Pokemon Go before they say Fire Emblem Fates.
Yeah.
But, like, that doesn't make it a good game. Like, it being, like, popular or just, like, known by word of mouth doesn't make a good game.
No.
And for it to be, like, a war, and this is picking Pokemon, it's a very specific nit to pick, but, like, this, if this is supposed to be, like, our chance as a community to award the best games and appreciate them as an art form for being what they are as opposed to any other form of media, like, Pokemon Go doesn't win that award.
Who's picking the winners, then?
It was a big panel, so and it varied by category. Some were picked by fans. I think that the most anticipated game of the year was picked by fans, I believe, and that went to Zelda. There were some members of the media who voted for these. It varied, but like,
well, I think that's what's interesting too, is that the panel, like, when we think of Oscars,
mm-hmm.
we think of like old white guys.
The Academy, the Oscars have been just like a firestorm of moderate controversy the past like 3 years, because the Oscar panel has just remained, yeah, like a group of like older white people who pick, you know, period pieces, you know, just like the same kind of Oscar-y movies over yeah. and over again, and how even like the nominees for the Oscars have been like just all white the past like 2 years or so.
And so, you know, I have no doubt that the panel is formed, the panels are formed intentionally with mm-hmm. specific, you know, end goals in mind, at least as like aspirations.
Yeah.
And so like, but because of that, like, I wonder what those aspirations are, because if they're picking games like Pokemon Go, like, I don't think it's for what you talked about this show being a place to recognize like the most artistically proficient games of the year. But let's just run through some of their award winners. Mm-hmm. Best RPG, Witcher, Wild Hunt, DLC, Blood and Wine, so specifically an expansion, which was, I mean, I've heard great things about it. I just bought that expansion and played it yet. But, like, it's like an expansion pack won that category for best RPG.
Yeah. But it's still, like, 30 hours of content.
Yeah, no, I mean, in that specific case, like, yeah, I mean, that's a game-long expansion.
Yeah.
Best art direction was Inside, which we've talked about in the past on this podcast. Best action game, Doom. I think that was probably pretty good. Best strategy game, Civ 6. Best performance, Nolan North as Nathan Drake in Uncharted 4. We might want to talk about that whole thing maybe next week.
Okay.
With the...
Well, listeners, if you don't want to wait, there's an article about his acceptance speech on topshelfgaming.net. Also, another article about The Witcher Blood and Bone winning the best RPG, even though it's just an expansion pack versus full games that were nominated as well. TopShelfGaming.net.
.net. best game direction was Overwatch.
Yes.
And so this is another weird thing. It's like best game direction, but like, what does that mean? Because it wasn't really explained. And I think for like, so, you know, we have best sports game, best performance, best strategy game, best fighting game, best music, sound game. In my ideal awards thing, I would have some more awards like best direction. You know, best art direction, best game design, best mechanic, best innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like reasons for that explained, you know, nominee by nominee. Because these are just, it was... Here's the category, here's the nominees, and here's the winner.
I mean, I'm sure that's explained to the panel choosing it, but when you have 2 hours and you're trying to pack in all of this stuff, mm-hmm. I think that becomes really, really difficult.
I swear the Oscars are like 4 hours long or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like, I would, me personally, I would rather have less awards and better explanations for why. Because to me, I think that communicates to myself as a gamer why these games matter, as opposed to others. Even though, you know, maybe I liked playing this game better, but I understand why this game won because of this reason.
Yeah.
And also to people who are outside the gaming community, this game won because it does this as opposed to this. And that helps educate people about what games can do. For instance, That Dragon Cancer won Games for Change Award.
Yeah.
Which is one of those awards that I think is a really good category. But even here, not that much information given. That Dragon Cancer is a game made about two parents' experience of losing their son to cancer. I've played half of it. It's a very sad game because you know where it's going. The father, he accepted the award and he gave a really good speech about it. But there wasn't, in the show itself, there wasn't really an explanation of like what this game really even was, why it won as opposed to the other games, some of which were also there for really good reasons.
I think you make a great point, but I raise you this. Like, when does that happen in other shows? Like, you're right to some degree. I think that all shows should explain why they made these choices. But in any sort of contest, and not just, award shows, but, like, at work we had a, lip sync battle, and my team, everyone in the audience applauded us.
Yeah.
Like, uproariously. Yeah. You know, just like going nuts. And then we didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And for 1 week afterwards, random people that I didn't know just came up to me and our fellow backup dancers saying, "You guys were robbed." And, like, we'll never know why we weren't picked, even though everyone thought that we should have won, but that's just the nature of these things.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, yeah, there are plenty of times where someone's going to win inexplicably, but not even in no piece of media given out to the public and, you know, hopefully given out to the panels who chose these awards, where there was some sort of explanation, but maybe not even an explanation of why this won compared to the others, but even why it was nominated.
Hmm.
Like, specifically for things like game direction or Games for Change, where games are going to be nominated for very different reasons, as opposed to, like, best sound or best fighting game. Like, you know, like, okay, you're being nominated because you're a fighting game. You're being nominated because you have good sound. Like, that is self-explanatory. But something like Games for Change, where the nominees are very different.
Yeah.
And the change that they're creating is very different. Best game direction, very different reasons of why games would be nominated for those things. Like, I want to know what about that game direction, what about this game's goal for change or expression even warranted the nominee. Because I think that without that, those categories become kind of meaningless.
Yeah.
Because if I'm just sitting there watching and I don't know what that Dragon Cancer is about, I'm not changed by that. I don't care. I see some dude crying on stage. I assume it has something to do with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, like, what the game was like, you know, what it did to me as a player, what it set out to do. And again, because games are different from other forms of media in that they aren't widely accepted the way that film and music is, I think they could really benefit from having, in this point in time, that extra explanation to communicate to everyone what they can do, why they matter.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that is all very, very hard. And they want to cram in as many awards as they can, and you can't sit there and have a nice chit chat about every single category. And I understand that. It's just I don't know if trying to emulate every other award show is what video games need right now. I think we might need something unique because this is a unique medium.
Yeah.
But we'll see. And I could have really done without that weird giant Shikaijo robot running around every like 5 minutes. That was weird. It was a real weird advertisement.
He had a nice physique.
He was real clean shaven.
He was.
He was sleek and shiny.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a really weird but nice award given to Hideo Kojima, who was not able to receive his award last year. that's a whole other thing we could get into, but I'm glad he got recognized.
Yeah.
Because that was a whole... Hideo Kojima was a cool dude. He makes some weird stuff. But he is, I think, one of video games' like true visionaries.
Yeah.
So...
Did you see that meme? There was this meme of this, like, AZ, you know, snippet of, like, Wikipedia. And it was, like, when Hideo Kojima was making Metal Gear Solid,
mm-hmm.
he wanted to have a boss battle that lasted for 2 weeks. And then he changed his mind when his developer said, like, that's possible, but we don't recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that that's, like, really weird and, like, really funny, but, like, he was serious. Like, he really wanted that. And that's the type of... And when you think of visionary, like that's completely true. Like, Kojima does things and has done things with, like with his games that, like, people just have never thought of.
And would... If they ever had the idea themselves, it'd be like, nope, not even gonna like feed that idea.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, we should do an episode. This is maybe like 2017 goals of just like video game visionaries and talk about that. And you can bring in, and you can laugh at us.
Okay.
You know, throw and talk about some Miyamoto.
Yeah.
So really quickly, because I mentioned it, and so I've obligated ourselves to it. PSX also happened. PlayStation's end of the year thing. It's basically a hype show for 2017.
Yeah.
What was the coolest thing from PSX for you?
Uncharted. Nope. Last of Us 2.
Part 2.
Part
the
2.
Last
Part
of Uncharted 2. Us 2.
Yep.
I really like that they're calling it Part 2 and not just 2.
Yeah.
I think that, like, that changes my entire perception of how I feel about there being a sequel to that game.
Yeah.
I'd see anything if it was called Part 2.
Kill Bill.
Right.
No, that looks great. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think Uncharted 4 was necessary, but it ended up being the best game in the series, story-wise.
Everything-wise.
Yeah, so it's a very good game. It's a very good game.
That I mysteriously lost. I never found it, and it's just gone.
It's Uncharted.
It's gone, yeah, you're right.
It's gone like chops.
Yep. Like right. My chops. Like lost chops. Chops.
Yeah, Last of Us Part 2.
The Last of Chops.
But also that Uncharted expansion. I don't know. How do you feel about the Uncharted expansion? Having played the story, are you interested in playing?
I actually didn't see it. So I caught up on the news,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't watch all of the... I didn't actually watch the press conference. So I know that they showed footage.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it myself, so I don't know what to do.
They really didn't show like anything what the story is, like what like even like necessarily when it takes place in the arc of the narrative. Mm-hmm. You play as Chloe from Uncharted 2.
Which is cool.
And you're working with
Nadine.
Saw that. It's a really cool video, but it really doesn't show you much of what's going on.
Yeah.
They're remaking Crash Bandicoot,
mm-hmm.
which is an old PS1 game.
Have you heard of Crash Bandicoot, Val?
I know what he looks like. He's got weird spikes and a long nose. And he's like orange, yellow, and he has like
jeans. He's like
jeans.
Red Sonic.
Yeah.
And jeans. He's a Red Sonic in jeans shorts.
What animal is he supposed to be?
Bandicoot.
Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, is that thing from Australia?
Yeah.
That like marsupial with stripes?
Yep.
Your favorite marsupial. Yeah, so the remake in that game, it's like the same game, but super high-res graphics.
They made it, like they didn't improve it.
Which is weird.
Other than visually.
Yeah, and they made a really big deal about, like, we have not changed this game other than its visuals.
Yeah.
Which seems maybe a bad choice, because I feel like seeing those visuals, you expect a level of fidelity that the game just does not have.
The visuals, though...
They look really good, though.
They look super good.
They look really good.
But as I was watching gameplay, like, I sat there thinking to myself, this isn't a good game. And it never was good.
Well, so you played that one level in Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good game.
It's not a good game.
It's not a good game.
like there's definitely fun moments, but most of those are like Crash 2, Crash 3. Like, I have memories of playing Crash 2, and then there's and there's the like jet ski level, and like where you're doing more creative things.
Yeah.
But overall, I was watching it, and a couple days earlier, I was playing Super Mario 3D World on Wii U, and I'm like, Crash versus Super Mario. Like, Crash is actually garbage. It's, like, hot. It's, like, hot garbage.
Yeah. Tell us how you really feel.
I mean, it is the first three games.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it's cool that they're doing it. I just don't know if it's going to pan out the way they hope, necessarily.
I don't think they're putting a lot of stake in it. I think, like one, it's only $40.
Yeah, Ratchet and Clank was $40, and that game was amazing.
That game should have been $60. Yeah. So, you're right. You're right.
They're also remaking Parappa the Rappa.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dumb game.
And they're actually making improvements to it, though, that are more than just visual.
Yeah, I played the demo. So that was, I think, maybe the first PlayStation game I ever played.
Oh, really?
I think I rented a PlayStation. It was that in Tekken 2, I think. I rented one from Blockbuster, and... yeah, so I have, like, weird nostalgia for Parappa, but not necessarily, like, I don't know, like, I think it's cool it's coming out, but whatever. And then they're also doing Patapon and Locoroco. I know those games exist, no idea what they are.
Yeah.
I was Nintendo 64, dude, like, I saw those logos at Blockbuster, but couldn't tell you what you did in those games, what kind of games those even were.
Yeah.
Other things that they announced at PlayStation Experience 2016... Those were kind of the big pushes. And they showed a new Horizon trailer.
I mean, the thing is that there was a lot of stuff there that wasn't in the press conference. A lot of games, a lot of indie games. I think overall it was a really cool, like, one of the best PSXs they've ever had, and one of the biggest announcements by far, but unless you were there, I think the idea is that, you know, it is an experience. Like, you can't just watch it online, much like you can E3 and just really know everything and, like, you know, come out of it.
This is
like really made for fans to like go in head first and just really take in all that goodness.
I think it's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
I think Microsoft, Nintendo would be kind of wise to sort of do their own sort of experience events, because E3 is slowly dying. GameSpot Expo is not the place you want to be. But here, you know, Sony had complete control over everything that they did. I sat and watched most of the live stream. And I came away, like, pumped for next year.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what it's for. It's not about what's happening, like, right now. It's just, like, get ready for the next year of PlayStation. Be happy you spent your money on this box. Have fun. Thanks for being a customer.
PlayStation has come such a long way.
And yet they continue making some weird decisions.
I'll allow it. Like, PlayStation, I think for this generation, PlayStation is what last generation's 360 was.
Oh, absolutely.
And when I think of people... like, I actually have friends on PlayStation, you know? Like I don't... Or just people I know from my various circles, from, you know, college, from work, people that I meet. It's becoming more regular that we'll just add each other on PlayStation and, like, maybe play some games later, and it's become an extension of my social life, where I catch up with people just by playing games with them, and I've never had that experience before, and from what I know, last generation, that's what 360 was.
Like that 360 was the one that your friends had.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that is the narrative that PS4 has this generation. I have some concerns about the plans they're making for the future, and then looking at what Microsoft has planned, like, I think we might see another overtake. We might not. I don't know. You know, Microsoft is having to work its butt off through the train wreck at the beginning of of this generation. Yeah. But, you know, but PlayStation 4 was where, if you have a console, you want to be. So I think it's cool that they're capitalizing on that, and I think so far they're doing fairly well at maintaining their fan base, thanks in no small part to Greg Miller, who is their official unofficial hype man. But yeah, it's I wish Nintendo does this, but Nintendo has the directs, so really Microsoft is what the only one of the three that doesn't really have something like this. I'm trying to think if they do, and I don't think.
I mean, they have like they have broadcasts.
They have made their Major Nelson stuff, but that's not the same. And that's the same level.
Lame.
Sorry, Larry.
Sorry. Yeah, it's lame. Like, I watched some of it. I even met him. It's lame.
And that hair.
And the
that silky white hair.
That silver fox. So, Valerie, you look nice and checked out.
I'm sorry I got sleepy. Sleepy.
So, if... Valerie, yes. If you were given $500, you could buy any video game console.
You had to buy one.
I could only spend it on this purpose.
Yeah. Based off of like what you know.
They're also complicated. That's how it seems. I don't know how to plug it in the right spot. I don't know what HDMI is.
You just have to know there's an Xbox One, a PlayStation 4, a Wii U, soon to be. We're gonna include Nintendo Switch, which is coming next year. Which we watched that trailer of.
I know. I'm slightly familiar with the Switch.
You know what a 3DS is.
You know what a 3DS is.
And we'll even throw an iPad. But you can only use it for games.
See, the problem is, like, guys, my neurons just don't fire for playing video games.
That's not the question.
I lack the brain chemistry to want to play it.
The question was, which one would you get?
If you had to get it
for
your sister.
I'd get her for my sister, who is a 20-year-old college student. I would get her probably the 3DS, only because that's what I hear people talking about.
I don't want to burst your bubble.
She already has one.
What?
She's already got one.
Yeah.
Wait, I know she had what?
Yeah,
like
no,
a new one?
Yeah, she definitely has one.
From whom?
I don't know, but she definitely
oh my
has
God.
One.
Yeah. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Jenny.
If you're listening.
She's probably not.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that your sister doesn't know you as well
as we do. Apparently.
Wow.
I talked to her for probably a total of 2 hours over your marriage weekend.
Our wedding dinner, yeah.
And apparently, I'm already more
of
an expert than you are.
I can't even.
I relieve you of your responsibility. I can see that.
And this is why she won't play Overcooked with me.
I'm sorry.
You've seen it firsthand.
I can't. My body rejects it.
Well, on that sad note, I think it's time to wrap up this episode.
Thanks for rooting everything we just worked for over the past hour and a half.
I'm trying. you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. This is me, the undrinking horse.
Well, if you want to answer Valerie's hypothetical $5 console question...
I thought it was $500.
Did I say $5?
You definitely said $500. If I had $500.
Anyway, if... You want to answer it for any amount of money.
Spent all our money on video games, and he has no concept of money anymore. He used it to buy every game. Anyway.
If you want to answer Valerie's question for her, you can send us an email.
I like games. I just don't choose to play them.
We're in the wrap-up now. You've had your chance.
You know what?
We got to wrap this up.
I'm done.
Why am I even here, guys?
With the email thing. Let's just do Twitter. I don't want to answer emails.
I do.
No one answers emails.
Okay. For Devin's sake, send us an email.
Trust Circle at topshelfgaming.net.
Devin can answer every email.
Yeah, Devin will answer email, and I'll answer Twitters at topshelf underscore gaming.
I'll answer snail mail. If you've managed to get us a snail mail letter, you better believe I'll answer it. Because that would be remarkable.
And subscribe and like us, rate us on iTunes, share it with friends, and we'll be back for... couple more weeks as we round out this year. We're going to do some more yearly recaps, and we'll put a bow on 2016, and boy, let's hope 2017 has a few more changes in store for us.
Yes. Optimism. Okay, bye.
'Just jealous of all my endorphins I got going right now.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.